Well, that was quick. Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Man, isn't it a beautiful day? Man, I mean, if we could have just tried to think of the best day that we could make, it's cool outside, the sun is shining, the birds are singing. Huh? The power's off in Bremon. Praise God. Everything's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, it is good to be in His house this morning, this old barn. I want to tell you a little story this morning. It's in the Bible. And the title of the message today is When God Speaks, Are We Listening? Because a lot of times we are real quick to pray, aren't we? And ask for all the things. It's kind of like we get our Christmas list ready. And we go to prayer and we say, God, I want da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and amen. And we just close our Bibles and we move on. I want to tell you a story about a man named Zechariah. During the reign of King David, there was this Jewish priest, and his name was Zechariah. Now, he was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, which was one of the priestly line inside of the lineage of Aaron, who was Moses' brother. Zechariah was married to a godly woman, and her name was Elizabeth. And she was a real sweetheart. You know, both of them loved the Lord. And the scripture says that they were righteous in God's eyes. Means that they were right with God. They did everything according to the commandments. They kept the commandments and all the regulations that it took to be a priest during that time. But as it would have it in their life, they didn't have any children. And, you know, they weren't going to have any. Bless their hearts. I mean, they were old. Older than me. Way too far gone to even think about having children. And it was Zechariah's turn to serve at the temple. And during those times, the way the priests did it, they drew by lot. They kind of like drew straws to see who was going to be the guy that was going to go into the Holy of Holies. Because that was a serious job. Because there was a curtain that divided where God was at, where He was represented, where the Ark of Covenant was. And they actually had to tie a rope around themselves when they went in to make a sacrifice to the Lord and to pray to Him. Because if they were struck dead while they were in there, no one could go in, so they could take that rope and they could pull them out. Isn't that interesting? Man, I'm telling you, it was a time when they feared the Lord in a great way. It says that there was a, while he was in there, this is I kind of think it's kind of funny in a way, but while he was in there, an angel appeared, and his name was Gabriel. And Gabriel is one of the only two angels that are spoke about in the scriptures that appeared to folks, Michael and Gabriel. And Gabriel, which is his name, means strong man of God in the Greek. Let's open up our Bibles and start the story in Luke 1:12. We're gonna read 12 through 15. That's Luke 1. That's in the New Testament for y'all that don't remember. Luke 1:12. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." Man. I got to thinking about this drinking thing, and I thought, well, man, you know, there's only been a few men that refrained from drinking during that time for special purpose. The Nazarite, it was a vow that they took. And sometimes it was a dedication. They were dedicating themselves, a special dedication to the Lord. So they refrained from drinking. And God asked them to do that. So this is one of the things that you have to do. Now, some of the times it was temporary. It was only for the time that they served that they couldn't do the alcoholic beverage. Now, Samson was one. It was supposed to be a lifetime. And if you know the story of Samson, he kind of slipped off the boat wagon, didn't he? And he would drink and he actually got drunk several times. And because of, not just because of that, but because of his sin and his non-committal to the Lord and not obeying God, he lost his hair and he lost his strength. But here we are, Zechariah, he was told not to let this boy drink. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist here, if y'all hadn't figured it out yet. This is the man who went before Christ and announced his birth and said, you've got to get ready. Jesus is coming. His birth is, he's going to be born here pretty quick. So everybody repent and come back to the Lord. Let's start back in Luke 1 again and pick up on verse 16. This is Gabriel still talking. He said, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man full of with the Spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? Duh. Man, I've seen a lot of stupid guys in the Bible, but here is an angel standing before him, and he starts questioning. Have you ever questioned God before? We've done it in our prayer life. We know the Lord tells us to do something, and we go, I just don't think that's what you really want me to do. Well, here's Zechariah. He's got a visible angel in front of him, and he starts questioning. Yeah, I'm going to move on. I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. Now, he didn't just say, I'm Gabriel. This dude was not happy. This angel was not happy. He said, look, I'm Gabriel. Look at me. I am Gabriel. He said, I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. Man, you know, Gabriel was not happy. Can you kind of get the message that Gabriel was not happy? It wasn't that he was offended, but he was offended. If there's a spiritual offense, he was offended for the Lord. He was taken up for the Lord. He says, man, you don't understand. I was sent here by God himself to give you this message, and you're going to question? You're going to question if it's true, if it's going to happen? We're talking about God here. In a way, I kind of feel sorry for Zechariah because he didn't even have time to say, well, you know, I apologize. You know, you're right. Because he couldn't say nothing after that. That was it. Nothing came out of his mouth till that child was born. How dare him question a messenger from God himself? Let's keep going. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering, why is he taking so long? You know, when he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. I would say that's the least that he did. It says, when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. You know, back then, during this time that Jesus lived, if a woman couldn't have children, it was considered to be that she was out of God's favor for some reason or another, that she had done some sort of sin that got her not on the same page with God, that she wasn't in his favor, that she wasn't being blessed by God to have children, because children are a blessing. That's what they are today, aren't they? If you get to have children, it's a blessing from God. But she felt like that her shame had been lifted from her body and from her life. You know, when we pray to God for answers or problems, when we ask him to step in and help us with a problem, or if we ask him for guidance, God speaks to us or blesses us with a word of direction, or tells us that we're going to receive something and we doubt it. Have you ever been just prayed and God said, you know, this is what's going to happen, and you go, that just sounds a little bit too far-fetched to me. I mean, when Claudia and I started selling our house, thinking about selling and moving to Cossey to get closer to the church, you know, I did have a little bit of doubt, because when we talked to the real estate agent, she said, now she was a Christian, but she made the comment, she said, you know, this is the wrong time of year to be selling a lake house. And I just looked at her. And I said, yeah, okay. What's your point? She said, well, you know, you may have to wait a while. I said, well, you know, I said, I have to understand this one thing in my life. If I've learned anything, is that when God tells me to do something, he's already got a plan in place. Amen? When God tells you to do something, he's already provided everything that needs to happen. 1 week later, they want to show the house. I got the house tore up from one end to the other with ladders up and everything. I'm doing sheetrock. I'm just painting. I'm doing all kind of that spackling stuff that you put on. All that. I'm doing it all. And I mean, caulking and putting trim boards down. And Claudia gets a text. This is about 10 o'clock in the morning. We want to show your house at 2 o'clock. I looked at Claudia and I went, ah! Man, God, you know I've got several hours just to finish. And I said, you're going to have to multiply my time. And she left, because I guess she didn't want to see, you know, the mess it was going to be in, because she had somewhere she had to go. And I was left to make sure everything looked, you know how it is when you show a house. Everything's got to be perfect. Get the pinky up there, you know. It's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be in its place. Everything's got to look good. But we got a contract out of it. But all day long, as I was praying while they were there, I thought, you know, this is probably it right here. We already have a contract, but now they want us out of the house real quick. God has a plan for that too. Amen. It's exciting when you pray and God shows up and says, I've got this covered. All you got to do is take the first step. That's where we come in to play. A lot of times, doubt causes us to stop and go, well, he said to take that first step. And we actually go this way instead of going towards God. We actually do the opposite thing that God tells us to do. Poor old Zechariah, he was on, it was almost, you know, we have thought those thoughts in our mind. We might not have said stuff like that out loud to God, but we thought it. But the thing is, God knows your mind. He can hear your thoughts. And he just said what he was thinking. You know, I got an old woman for a wife. She's old, and I'm old too. You know, are you sure? That's basically what he's saying. Are you sure? Boy, and Gabriel, he didn't pull his punch, man. He just let him have it. You know, just because you are your attitude of disbelief, you ain't going to be able to speak for a while. It's a good thing because God could have struck him dead, amen? At least he just took his voice. He took his voice away from him where he couldn't say anything else stupid. Boy, I say a lot of stupid things. Anybody else like that? You just, husbands, you might as well raise your hand. We say a lot of stupid things, don't we? We do a lot of stupid things. If I got caught for everything I thought, oh, Lord. But this was clearly an offense to God because it was sin. His disbelief was sin. You know, when we say we doubt God's power or his ability to do something, we doubt his timing, that when he says do it, that the timing is not going to be there, it's sin. And he gets offended by it because he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everything is possible with God. Nothing is out of his ability to perform. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Even the thing that you think, that's just not possible. Now, here is an impossible situation with an old, old couple. Now, you just think in today's time. Just think if they were old and they decided, God said, you're going to have a baby. How would that affect you if you're in your 70s? I know how it would affect me. I'm in my 60s. I mean, I might faint. I might get faintified and hit the ground. I don't know. But 70s, or, you know, they could have been in their 80s. Who knows how old they were? But it says they is old. Okay? To me, that's older than me. I always think everybody's older. You know, there's always, I don't care how old you get, I found out there's always somebody older than you. There's some old timer out there that's older than you. Amen? But nothing is out of his ability to perform. That's why Zechariah was struck speechless because he doubted God's word himself. In Ephesians 3:20, it says this, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Infinitely more than you can imagine in your life God can perform. He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on me to get right. He is waiting for us to say, hey, what you got for me to do? What is it that you want me to do today? Next week, next month, next year, from now on, what do you want out of me, God? What do you expect? What do you think God expects out of you? I'm just wondering. What do you really think God's expect? Do you think he expects anything out of you? Maybe you're in a place in your life where you're not really doing anything for God. Maybe you're just showing up on Sunday and warming a bench, warming a seat. I don't know. Because I don't know what's going on in here. But see, God does. God knows you personally because he made you. He designed you. He didn't make you to be a seat warmer, did he? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, y'all, the same power that is the same power that lives within inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? That kind of power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that we have in us. The power of the Holy Spirit. But do you believe it? The scripture says it's true. So if you're doubting it, don't say it out loud. Don't think it. Believe it. That anything is possible with God. I don't care what it is. All it takes is belief. It takes faith. Faith is believing something's going to happen even though you can't see it or you can't imagine it, that it could possibly happen, but you know it's going to. So when God speaks to me, I know I can take it to the bank, because personally, He's done so much for me. He keeps leading and doing things for me, blessing me beyond the things that I can even ever imagine. Just being here, right here on this stage, is something is way, woo, way beyond my imagination 10 years ago. I would have laughed at you if you would have told me, you know, 10 years from now, Lord is going to put you in this pulpit and you're going to be preaching. I'm telling you, it would not have been good what had come out of my mouth. I would have been one of those doubters that went, what? Are you crazy? Man, you're probably smoking some of that funny weed, hadn't you? You've been drinking Jack or something. You're doing something wrong. One too many beers, a case, or two, to think something stupid like that. I would have doubted it for sure if I had heard it. But even then, God was preparing me for something. What's God preparing you for today? Something that you can't even imagine could be 5 years from now. Where could you be? Where could you be a year from now? What has God got planned for you? It's scary, y'all. I'm telling you, it can be scary sometimes to think about when you turn your life over to God and you just say, I don't care what it is, Lord. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back from you. I'm going to give you all of me. It would amaze you what God will do. He has the power to change any situation, any problem, anything that you can imagine into a victory. It's just, this story here to me is just one more example, just one of so many, where the impossible, where nowhere in your thought process possible, God makes it possible. So this morning, what is God telling you to do? What has God asked you to do? What is your answer? Are you kind of laughing? I kind of think Zechariah, he might have snickered a little bit. He was scared now, but if he hadn't been so scared, he might have laughed a little bit and went, are you crazy? Look how old I am. And my wife is old too. How can it possibly be that we could be pregnant, that we could have a child? This morning, God may be telling you to do something, to act on something, to change something in your life that needs to be changed, something that you've been holding on to. It might be a sin. It might be an attitude. It might just be something that you think is just minor in your life. But to God, it's important enough to lead you to make a change. What are you going to do this morning? Are you going to be like Zechariah in doubt? Like I said, 10 years from now, ago, I would have done the same thing. I would have been Zechariah in spades, I guarantee you. I would have laughed if someone told me that God was preparing me for this. So what is God preparing you for? What has God told you to do this morning? Only you know. So what is your answer? Choose your thoughts carefully. Choose them carefully. think about it and pray before you speak and say something stupid. Amen? Am I the only one here that says anything stupid? I think not. This place is full of cowboys. They're always saying something stupid. I mean, guys and girls, don't laugh too loud, ladies, because there's a lot of cowgirls in here too. They're just as bad. It is a blessing to serve God. I'm telling you. And it's a blessing when you hear from God, when He tells you to do something. It's an honor. It is. It's an actual honor to get to serve God. Now, you would think, well, this is about serving. He's just trying to get people to serve in the church. No. I don't have to worry about that. God's got all that handled. This is not what this is about. This is talking about faith. Who do you think God is? Who is the God that you worship? Your picture of God makes all the difference in the world to how you live your life. If He's someone way off there that doesn't really care that much about me, or is He the one that is everything in your life that you go to even when things are going good, daily, hourly, by the minute, asking for direction? He is the one that has the power to change anything in your life, any situation, anything that's going on, any kind of problem, and turn it into victory. All we have to do is what? Take that first step toward Him. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to You, Heavenly Father. Whew. Just the thought of who You are boggles my puny mind. What Your ability is just absolutely puts me in my place, Lord, as a child. Not really able to understand everything that You're capable of doing because it's so immense, so unlimited. Father, You know the hearts of everyone here. You know my heart. You know everyone that is sitting in this barn. Lord, You know where we are at in our life and our walk with You. I pray that the Holy Spirit talks to us right now, Father, and draws us to You. That we can make changes in our life, Lord, that draws us and make us more like You each and every day that we take a breath. Lord, I don't take my breath for granted anymore because I know it can be taken from me at a moment's notice. But while we're here, Lord, I pray that we would be Your servant. We would be Your ambassador. We would be Your representative, Lord, in this community. That we would love others the way You love us. That we would reach out to the ones, Lord, that no one wants to have anything to do with because they smell funny or they look funny. They dress funny. They're not like us, Lord. They're poor. Lord, give us the ability to see people the way that You see them. To love people the way that You love. All these things I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name and for His sake, we all pray. And they all said, Amen. Man, I tell you, it is a privilege to be here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. It's a privilege to be able to serve here. If you're visiting here this morning, we want to say welcome to Common Ground Cowboy Church. If you've never been here before, I want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a family, a place where you can serve God, this is a place you want to be. I'm telling you. Because this church is full of caring and loving people. They're just looking for someone to love. Amen? So, if you're a member here, be sure and greet everyone that you see that you don't know. If you don't know who they are before you leave today, make sure you do. Take them by the hand and tell them you're glad they're here and welcome them back. Wherever God sends you this week, whatever trail you're on, I pray that He'll protect you and love you and bring you back next week. God bless you.